good that song in his time.
Yeah, I love it.
Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. We'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings as we open up this portion of the Word of God. Father, I pray that you would send it forth just as your Spirit would have it. Father, we trust in your infallible written Word. Lord, I pray you would teach us. Bless your people, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are certain portions of the Scriptures that you go to, and as a preacher, from a pastor's perspective, you say, that's a difficult portion to preach. Now, here we are in 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, and verse 1. As you know, as we've gone through 1 Corinthians and we've made it thus far, we already know that there were problems in Corinth with sexual sins. They had infected the church. And we know this from chapter 5 and 6 when we go back and we review those passages. Now, with that in mind, it makes sense that the church at Corinth had a very wrong view of marriage. Now, the sins of the city of Corinth, it's pretty clear at this point that they had no doubt infected the church. Society's sins had come into the church. And that's a great danger for churches today. We see that all too often, that the world spills into the church, and the people in the church begin to act like people in the world. Let me show you a quick example, and I was reading this in my study of some of the truths of Solomon. Look at Nehemiah 13. Let me show you something real quick. Nehemiah 13 and verse 23, if you turn there, the book of Nehemiah, right before the book of Esther. And what it shows here, there had been a mixed multitude. The men of Israel had married Canaanite wives. And they had learned the ways, like Jeremiah 10 says, they learned the ways of the heathen. They learned the ways of the world, in a sense. And here it says in verse 23, 13:23, Nehemiah. If you look there, this is Nehemiah speaking. He says, in those days also I saw Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake, notice, half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people, and he contended with them. So take that for us, brethren, is that when people speak to us, we shouldn't speak the language of the world.
Amen.
We should speak the language of the kingdom of Christ. We shouldn't speak the language of the world. And they had learned the ways of the people of the land rather than them teaching and influencing the people of the land with the ways of God. Brethren, that's what we should do. But back to 1 Corinthians. That's what had happened in the church at Corinth. The sins of the world, specifically these sexual sins, and when we read the book of the 1 Corinthians, even the 2 Corinthians letter, we see that the sin of fornication was prevalent. Now, the people of God at Corinth were learning and emulating the ways of the world, as I just said, rather than learning and walking in the ways of the kingdom of God by faith. Now, Paul begins this section, if you see there in 1 Corinthians 7:1, he begins this section by saying, I'm answering your question, or I'm answering a letter. See, he says, now let's just go ahead and read chapter 7, and we'll read to verse 9. He says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. So apparently the church made an inquiry of Paul. And he's answering them. He said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, Or defraud ye not the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency, for your lack of self-control. I speak this by permission, and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Now, listen, when reading a portion of the Word of God like this, we need to read it straight on, and we want to understand what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. Now, let me just say at the outset, there is not a marriage relationship in the world that is perfect or has been. Sin has affected us all. And so, brethren, as we go into this, we see some of the sins of the world, again, that had spilled into the church at Corinth. And we see some of the sins that actually infected marriages in the church at Corinth. This was obviously the inquiry that they made of Paul. Now, again, there's no doubt that the sin of fornication was rampant in the city of Corinth. We remember from chapter 5, the church tolerated it. They allowed it in to the church and one of its members. They seem to have overlooked it or seemingly ignored it, turned a blind eye to it, when the people of God should have mourned because of it. We should mourn whenever sin finds its way into the church, brethren. They should have mourned over it. They should have dealt with it. And they should have repented because of this sin that was in the midst of their assembly. Listen, when there's sin in the camp, you can go back and make application to Achan's sin. When there's sin in the camp, it affects the whole camp. When there's sin in the church, it affects the whole church. Now, the city and society of Corinth looked at fornication, we know, as normal behavior. It was simply gratification of a natural desire of the body. You remember Paul said, they said, look, if you're hungry, you go get something to eat. You satisfy that desire. And the reasoning of the people of Corinth was, you have a desire for sex, you find someone, and you fulfill that desire, which is completely wrong. Listen, it sounds alarmingly like our society today in the world. Do what makes you feel good. Gratify yourself in the lust of the flesh. And listen, that is not to be the Christian life. Listen, the application here is made to sexual immorality and fornication. But beloved, we are not here to gratify the desires of the flesh. Look at 1 John 2:15. Let me give you a few references here. 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15, the Apostle John here says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, and what he means by the world is, he means the philosophy of the world, the gospel of the world, the bent of the world, what the world loves. And listen, we know what the world loves. The world loves its sin. The world is under the god of this world. And so, if any man love the world, John says, the love of a father is not in him. In other words, if you love the world and you love the societies of the world and you love the world's gospel, you love the world's message, you love how the world carries itself, how it speaks, and all those things, John says, the love of the father is not in you. He says, for all that is in the world, and listen to what it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Brethren, one of the things that the scriptures teach us in Thessalonians, this is the will of God, what? Even your sanctification, that we should be holy and not live after the flesh. Now, Ephesians 4:22, back up. Actually, back up to Titus 2:11, and then we'll go back to Ephesians. Titus 2:11. So listen, our society, brethren, lives to feel good. and to gratify self and the lusts of the flesh. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of faith in Christ. Titus 2:11, look, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that's what we should be doing. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then finally, Ephesians 4:22, the book of Ephesians 4:22, just kind of setting the stage for this text in 1 Corinthians. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. We're to put off those feelings of lust and that sin that would rise up in us, brethren, and we're to adorn ourselves with the new man by faith. Now, before I go too far, Paul is not teaching us in this text that sexual desires are sinful. What he is saying is that they are sinful outside of marriage. They're sinful outside of marriage. Now, just think of these references, and I'll read them off to you quickly. These are just references from 1 Corinthians. So I want you to see from the text of 1 Corinthians that this was a real problem. In verse 1 of chapter 5, there is fornication among you. That's in the church. It was in the church. Chapter 6 and verse 13, the body is not for fornication. This is what the Word of God says. This is what God says. That's not what the body is for. Chapter 6 and verse 18, flee fornication. Run from it. Like Joseph did in the book of Genesis. Chapter 6, verse 18b. He that commits fornication sins against his own body. We see that with some of the diseases that happen to people when they do this. Chapter 7 and verse 1. Don't touch a woman sexually who is not your wife. Vice versa for the woman and the man. 7:2, avoid fornication. Chapter 10 and verse 8, don't commit fornication. And so that's where we're at, brethren. And listen, we don't skip over portions of the Word of God because they're difficult to preach or difficult to read, or we see ourselves perhaps in some of these failures and these sins. Listen, I see my own self. But brethren, we need to be instructed in this truth of the Word of God. So look, verse 1, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, Paul's not talking about simple touch, like if I rub up against you and touch your arm. But that word touch means touching sexually. Paul is not saying that a husband cannot touch his wife. He is saying that a single man must not have sexual relations with any woman outside of marriage, nor a married man with a woman who is not his wife. And the same goes for single women who must not enter a sexual relationship with a man outside of marriage. Now, consider these references. Go to Genesis chapter 20. Just three references from the scriptures. Genesis 20 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 20. This is Abraham. He came into Gerar. We read this recently. Verse 2 says, and Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech. Now he took her, you know why? With the intent that she would be his wife. That's why he took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and says, you are a dead man because the woman that thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and in the innocency of my hands, have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst it in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. So we see there God giving us his determination that you touch another man's wife, it's sin. Therefore I suffered thee, notice, not to what? Touch her. Means to have sexual relations with her. That's what that means, that touch. And he says, give the man his wife back. Now look at Ruth chapter 2. The book of Ruth chapter 2. Joshua judges Ruth. Listen, we as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to know the revealed will of God in regard to these sins. Listen, sexual sins, brethren, are some of the most snaring sins among all of humanity. And so we need to be aware of them. Listen, you watch what's on the TV, and it's rampant that it's anything you watch, it's full of relationships that are sexually sinful relationships. Look at Ruth chapter 2 and verse 8. This is when Ruth went into the field of Boaz. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Means that they will not have sexual relations with you. That's what he's talking about. Boaz told his men, leave her be. And they obeyed. And then Proverbs 6:27. The book of the Proverbs, 6:27. And listen, you can read Proverbs 5 through 7, and it's chock full of warnings and instruction in regard to sexual sins. Proverbs 6:27, notice, can a man take fire in his bosom, or can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whoso toucheth her, shall not be innocent. That word touch is exactly the same meaning as we looked at previously. And so back to 1 Corinthians 7:1. Paul says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, i.e. that is not his wife. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So the emphasis here, beloved, is on marriage. Marriage of one man to one woman, singular, and one woman to one man. Marriage is the only relationship in which God gives his approval to the sexual relationship. Hebrews 13:4, look there. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. And listen, even when you read the Word of God, and listen, I'm just being honest with you here. You talk about sexual intimacy, and you see it in the Word of God. Listen, the Word of God is going to tell you the truth, as hard as it is to hear. But listen, we look at the physical relationship, and because of our depravity and the darkness of our hearts, it's always dirty, isn't it? Talk about sex, it's always dirty. But listen, it is not so in the marriage union. Look at Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And now go back to Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs chapter 5. Listen, the physical relationship has become dirty because of our sin. It's not to be so. It's holy. It's honorable in marriage, brethren. Even more honorable in Christ. Proverbs 5:15, listen. Drink waters out of thine own cistern. He's talking about a husband and a wife. And running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be thine only and not strangers with thee. Let it be your own husband and your own wife. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why will thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Listen, the intimacy of marriage, God teaches us that it is God-given. Understand that. It's God-given. But sin has terribly corrupted that which God gave to man and the woman to enjoy together in marriage. Look at Genesis chapter 20. Let me show you something. This is the man and the woman in their innocence. In their innocence before the fall. Genesis 2 and verse 20. Scripture says, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him, or a help fit for him, a helper to be at his side. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from a man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. See, sin had not entered in at this point. But let me show you something. If you go back to verse 23, when God presented her to Adam, when God brought Eve and woke up Adam from his sleep, and he brought her, Adam said, this. And it means, at last. Let me just translate to you. He went, wow. There was an immediate attraction to her. She would be his help fit for him. She would be that one that would walk at his side. Now, remember, there was an intimacy there. And there was no sin associated with it all, with Adam and Eve's relationship at all, until the fall into sin. Now let me emphasize here, at this point in our study, that biblical marriage is defined by God to be only between a man and a woman. Two of the same sex cannot be united together in marriage. That is not marriage. It is sin and rebellion against God and his created order. And so, I just wanted to make sure we understand that, beloved. Now, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 7 to say, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Now, let me tell you what Paul's not teaching here, I believe. He's not teaching us just to go out and get a wife or a husband for the sake of satisfying your sexual appetite. But we must understand the natural desire of both men and women toward the physical relationship. It's in us. God designed us like that. Sin has corrupted that. But brethren, in Christ, we need to see that that is a snare even to the saints of God. You don't have to go far to see it. Look at the sweet psalmist of Israel, David. Listen, that desire must only be followed by a spiritual relationship centered in Christ in both the man and the woman. And only then into the marriage union. Now I realize not every marriage, most marriages, Christ is not in the center. But beloved, at least there should be the marriage union before the conjugal union. That's God's design. So the marriage union must always come before the conjugal union, the coming together of the man and the wife. Listen, beloved, in the world, sex outside of marriage is seen as normal. We should be ashamed to see something like that. It should make us sorrow to see men and women in relationships, sexual relationships, without being married. The world sees sex outside of marriage as normal. Men and women live together rather than committing to marriage before God. They'll live together. It's become a normal thing. But that is not God's design. And God's mind has not changed just because we're in the year 2021. Fornication and sexual sins, beloved, are still sins against God. But even when men and women do marry, there are sin problems. There's not a marriage on the planet without sin problems. Brethren, we've all experienced them. The great sin problem in marriage is the sole emphasis on the physical. And that's what these young people do today. You see them, the sole emphasis is on the physical relationship. There's no getting to know them, even outside of Christ. There's no getting to knowing them. The first thing they want to do is get in the bed. Not absolutely, but many. And listen, that brings in so many sorrows and hurts. And brethren, we need to tell it like it is from the Word of God. We need to tell our young people, flee fornication. We need to tell them to stay away from it. Again, living together has become accepted by many in our society, considered normal and not sinful behavior. It's considered not sinful. Parents even tell their kids, yeah, just move in together and give it a try, see how it works. No, don't tell them that. That's the worst thing you can tell them. But the sole emphasis is on the physical, sexual relationship with little to no emphasis on the spiritual. This is why faith in Christ is so important to any man or woman individually before entering into the covenant of marriage. And so, brethren, let us make sure that we carry within us by faith God's view of the relationship of a man and a woman, and that it be according to the Word of God, and that it be only in marriage. Now back to 1 Corinthians, let's just finish these last few verses out. And Paul here talks about some of the issues in marriage. He says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. He's still talking about that relationship. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Remember, when you are married, two, saith he, become one flesh. Remember, marriage is one plus one equals what? What's one plus one? Everybody says two. No, it's not in marriage. One plus one equals one. Two become one. You know what? Two people love each other, get married. You know, after a while, they start looking like each other. They actually do. I think they do. Brethren, two become one flesh. Your wife or your husband is your other self. And so, brethren, Paul talks about denying the physical here. And he says that the husband and the wife, they don't have power over themselves, but the husband or the wife, consequently, And so the marriage bed ought to be an expression, brethren, of love to Christ and your love one to another. That's what Paul's teaching. He says, defraud not, or do not deprive one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or your lack of restraint. Now, Paul goes on to say, listen, I say this by permission. He says, but I would that all men were like me. And Paul was not married. He says, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. And Paul was not married. But if they cannot contain, or if they cannot withhold, and that desire's there, he says, let them marry. It is better to marry than to burn. To burn meaning having a lust for that, burning in your lust. Better to marry than to sin. And that's what Paul's teaching here. Brethren, this was a problem in the church at Corinth. And brethren, we don't want sins like this to infect our assembly. Listen, in any of us. Listen, let me take this to the spiritual level. You go back to the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, you've heard it has been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. True. He said, but I say unto you, don't even look upon a woman with lust in your heart. Because if you do, you have committed it already. Brethren, it's such an imperative, beloved, for us to be walking in the Spirit, walking according to the truth of God's Word, walking with Christ in His Word. It's so important that we be putting off the old man. It's so important that we be not lusting after the world, letting our eyes look at things that they should not. Both men and women, we need to be so careful of that. Listen, if it goes in through the eye gate, guess where it's going to get? In the mind, and then you'll think about it. Listen, that's where sin starts. Sin starts when we allow something in through the eye gate mainly, or sometimes the ear gates. You can read Proverbs, I think it's 7, and you can see that young, simple man. Listen, if you know there's a danger of this sin or any sin, and you know there's a certain place, or a certain thing that you'll hear, or a certain thing you'll see, avoid that place. Don't go there. Keep yourself wisely out of that place. In fact, the Proverbs twice says, a prudent man or woman foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Listen, sexual sins have taken down so many. When you see the sweet psalmist of Israel falling to sin the way he did with the wife of another man, it's imperative, beloved, that we flee this sin. Listen, once that floodgate is open, it's hard to close it. That's why it's so important for young people to not commit that sin before they find that man or the woman that they will marry. What a blessed thing to know that that's the only man or woman that you've ever been with. And so, beloved, let's take this to heart. And I pray the Lord will help you in your own life and your own sanctification. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you for this portion of the Word of God. Father, I know I needed to hear it. Father, it renews, oh God, the soberness, the sobriety, the integrity that I must have even walking in my life to protect my eyes, my ears. Father, to stay away from certain places, certain people. Lord, I pray that none of us would be snared with this sin. Father, I thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that you'd help us all. Help us by your mercy and your grace. Father, help us to learn Help this message to be effectual to every one of us. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it.